Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to MCDC Wars. So we skipped last week where we went, that was episode 6. We just finished episode 7. Pretty killer episode. What were your thoughts on some of the stuff? And anyone listening, hey, spoilers.
Yeah, that's something we usually forget to announce at the beginning of the video. So that's good. So should we start at 6 or 7?
I guess we can start at 6, leading into 7.
Okay. So let me refresh my memory real quick. So episode 6, the Halloween episode. Vision exits the bubble. Yeah, I mean, it was really odd to me that Vision was still alive once he was outside of the hex, but technically he wasn't really outside of the hex. Like, you could still see the force field dragging him back in. Mm-hmm. And so, like, eventually, you know, he couldn't survive because the force was so powerful that was bringing him back in. And so, like, I don't know it, but regardless, it still made me question about whether Vision can somehow be alive at the end of this series outside of the hex. And so I guess that's like the main takeaway I had from that. Was episode 6, right? Yeah,
that was episode 6.
Yeah, so that was one of the main takeaways I had from that. You know, Quicksilver talking about Demon Spawn and all that, you know, that made a lot of people's dopamine receptors go off and like, oh, he's Mephisto. And you know, once we get to talking about episode 7, I have some thoughts about that. But I tend to resist the theory that he is ultimately somebody else other than the X-Men Quicksilver. And I think, you know, what's her name, Agatha being revealed in episode 7 kind of confirmed that, because you could see that she was controlling him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess those are my main thoughts on episode 6. And episode 7, we all kind of knew that that was Agatha Harkness, unless it was an insane red herring.
Yeah,
you know. But like, sorry, we can do your thoughts on episode 6 first before we go into episode 7.
Six, it had just a hint of who everyone was just from the costumes. Everyone was wearing essentially their comic book accurate costumes, even Agatha.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder what I missed in there. But Quicksilver questioning Wanda made me question more of what was going on with that character. Like, is he being controlled? Like, who is controlling him with those type of questions that he was asking? Because he was prying, like, how did you do it? Like, how did you really do it? So it was, I don't know. I feel like either he was some sort of odd manifestation, like a slip up by somebody by using that character, or he's 100% controlled. Like, he's not consciously thinking of anything, even though they give the illusion that he's somewhat aware of his surroundings. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the ending with Vision trying to escape and being pulled back in and like almost falling apart. I mean, that was interesting. And I have some other thoughts on that just from episode 7. Now, episode 6, obviously Wanda expands the hex. And then 7, it starts out essentially Wanda kind of realizes all the stuff she does, and it's kind of like an episode of The Office. But when they were when Darcy meets Vision and he does that thing where he clears her mind and explains everything to him and how he was being reconstructed by S.W.O.R.D. probably as a weapon, it made me think like, well, maybe they did turn Vision back on as a robot, but his consciousness can only exist in the hex because of Wanda. You know what I mean? It's almost like a piece of his essence was brought through Wanda or something along those lines. So almost like he's just an autonomous robot that doesn't know really anything and remember anything. And it's something to do with that magic between Wanda is the only reason why he can like remember her. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe they did turn Vision back. Cause we're all saying, oh, Vision's dead. Vision's dead. Everyone's been saying that the whole season, but Vision is a robot. You know what I mean? Vision is a robot that came like to consciousness through AI, like an algorithm of AI that Tony Stark created, and consciousness through the Mind Stone. And we still don't understand even how that Mind Stone works or the extent of Jarvis, the AI, can work and exist, because he was thought in Age of Ultron, Jarvis was thought to be destroyed, but he wasn't, he hid. And it's like, well, if it could do that, why couldn't it do it again in some other form? Mm-hmm. So it just made me go down that kind of rabbit hole of thinking like, well, maybe like he can exist outside of this, but Wanda has such a control over his consciousness that for him to be somewhat cognizant and aware of things, like he has to be in the hex, or she just really won't let him out. I have no idea. So those are my thoughts on the, that Vision side. But we saw Monica Rambeau, her new origin story with going into the hex. What did you think of those scenes?
Yeah, it was interesting that in the trailer, it looked like that vehicle that they were using went straight through the hex. And that was another case of Marvel just throwing us way off, unless that's later on in the series. I don't think it is, though. And so that kind of threw us off to knowing exactly when Monica was going to, is Colleen there?
She said, I don't want to be on camera. I had to like, perfect. She's like, you're not going to make a video out of this. I'm like, no, it's going to be a podcast, but.
Hi, Colleen. So.
Hey.
She wanted to, she's like, I want you to do it so I can listen, but I don't want anyone to know I'm here. Not even Jesse. I don't want anyone to know.
I wanted Jesse to know I was here.
Is she joining in?
I might give my 2 cents.
Yeah, she's over there. Can you hear her?
I can hear her, yeah.
Okay. So, Monica.
Yeah. So, so I thought that was interesting about how it was different than the trailer. And so that threw us off a little bit. Also, you saw the post credit scene, right?
Yeah, that was like, oh,
okay. Whoa. Yeah. Like yeah. I thought that very, very quick interaction was interesting because, well, I guess that's kind of off topic from Monica, but to see her and Quicksilver interact in like, because we didn't see Quicksilver the entire episode. And so like to have him talk to her as the first time we see him in episode 7, I thought that was really interesting. And maybe that carries a lot of meaning with it, especially after the reveal that Agatha was controlling Quicksilver the entire time. So I wonder if at that point she's still controlling him or what. I don't know.
I think you just completed the thought I was having about Quicksilver being controlled and asking all these prying questions. How did you do it? And it's, oh, like Agatha is 100% controlling Quicksilver. We still don't know where he came from. If she like pulled him out of some other portal in a different universe, but she is the one manipulating him to ask all these weird questions because Agatha she's a different person, doesn't have a deep relationship with her. So she can't ask those questions. She needs someone that'll open up to so she can get those real answers. So that makes sense why he's saying all these almost like harsh prying things to get her to, I don't know, go deeper with him. That makes that. I just kind of finished. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm glad. I think.
Yes. Colleen says Snooper's going to snoop. So that's, he's talking about
reference
that.
Reference to Snoop Dogg.
I don't know, man. Snoop, yes. Yeah, he came up with the hood. He's like, Snoop, gonna Snoop. Maybe.
Yeah, but then at that point, he's not being controlled.
I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know. That's the gray kind of area with him.
Yeah, we don't know about that yet.
Yeah, we don't know how strong Agatha is. Like, I mean, how, like, we know that Wanda is controlling the borders of the Hex, but how much of that is being controlled by Agatha? Is she independently doing things, or is she manipulating Wanda to do these things? And it's all Wanda, but because Wanda is maybe not conscious that she's doing all these things because she's being manipulated, that's why all of these things are glitching out and hacking, because Agatha is kind of only working on things that are within her view or whatever.
And you know what's interesting is when one of the sons says, I like it here, Agatha, you're quiet. As opposed to his mom. So that's just an interesting side note.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, Agatha just, like, being...
She's quiet in her mind.
Yeah.
Or, like...
Yeah. Huh. I wonder what that meant exactly. That's a good point.
I think it's maybe... It's because everyone else is in... I mean, as far as we know, everyone else that has been conscious at some moment that's been in the Hex has been in like terrified and in pain. So if I'm assuming that Wiccan can hear everyone's thoughts in pain, and that's what's
clouding
it.
Yeah.
But behind everything, she's completely in control. So her mind wouldn't be going nuts. You know what I mean?
That's a really good point.
But then it's like, are they even real? Are the kids even real?
Yeah, the kids even real. Who's the fly on the wall? Remember the fly on the wall?
Yeah, I've heard some crazy stuff about that. Like, I mean, the Mephistophians keep saying that's Mephisto, or like the bunny is Mephisto. Like the
everyone's like, it's just...
oh. No, I'm just going to say that, well, I'm going to open up a can of worms, but go ahead.
All right, so we open the can of worms. I'm almost starting to think that Mephisto is essentially, they're doing an Iron Man 3. You know?
Yeah, like a red herring situation where you think it's Mephisto the whole time, but it's not actually, or?
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, it's Mephisto. Like, Iron Man 3 was the Ten Rings, right?
Yeah.
It was... What's his name? Why am I drawing a blank? What's his name?
Mandarin.
The Mandarin, all right? It's the Mandarin. Every trailer, all the way up to the end. And she's like, no, it's Aldrich Gideon or whatnot. And he's just like, portraying all this. And I'm like, maybe they're going kind of deep and throwing the whole fan base off, where it's Mephisto, and it's something else. So before you open up a can of worms, I've just started to think, or I've been thinking the last couple episodes, I'm like, what if everyone's just getting kind of amnesia, where it's just like, hey, they've done this before, you know, or they've done it before. There's precedence for that.
Yeah, I think that's something that Marvel does a lot of the time. Like, they'll make you think that they are going in a particular direction, maybe a direction that's more cosmic or supernatural, but then they try to explain it in a way that is a little bit more realistic, like Iron Man 3. And like, obviously there's times where, you know, Thanos is wiping out half the universe, so that kind of destroys that part of it. But I think there could be definitely something to that, where you think it's Mephisto and they keep giving you clues to lead you to believe that, but it may result in something that's not quite so like dark as Mephisto. And I think another reason for that may be that they're trying to appeal to a bunch of different demographics, and apparently in China, like, you can't demonstrate the devil on TV or something like that. So if they did so, maybe it would have to be a really subdued version of it. But I did hear a theory, I don't know who this was from, but apparently Al Pacino talked with Kevin Feige, and I don't know how long ago the interview was, but he talked to Kevin Feige, and people are starting to think that he is playing Mephisto, because it's somebody that Paul Bettany has wanted to work with his entire life. And a while ago, Paul Bettany listed three actors that he would love to work with, and Al Pacino was one of them. And also, Al Pacino has played Satan in The Devil's Advocate.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting theory. I don't know if I completely believe that yet. I'm actually more inclined to believe that Magneto is behind it. I think he may be the big cameo, Michael Fassbender, because they keep talking about, but it seems like when they mention something earlier on in the series and there's a payoff towards the end, like they kept talking about Pietro and then he showed up, and now they've mentioned Wanda's parents at least once, maybe twice. And so in the MCU, or like Feige's MCU before the X-Men were a part of it, it's mentioned in the show that her parents are not Magneto and whoever the mother was, but for Pietro, for Peter Maximoff, his dad is Magneto, right? And that'd be Michael Fassbender. And so I think that would just make for a riveting finale if, you know, Pietro and Wanda were facing off against Michael Fassbender's Magneto. And I think he would still feel like a father to Wanda because she's a Nexus, right? And so she is the same across all universes. And so she would still have that connection with him. That's kind of my running theory right now. But I think also the Mephisto thing could be interesting if it's Al Pacino.
Yeah, I don't know about the Al Pacino thing, but it is interesting.
Yeah.
And back for a second, it makes sense why they didn't do the Ten Rings Mandarin back then, because that would take away from the gauntlet in Endgame, because it's such a similar story. So yeah, maybe it could be something along those lines here, but I don't know. I didn't think of the Nexus the way you just explained it, where she's the same in all those universes. But I mean, what if it is that maybe if she's coming together with multiple universes, where it's the X-Men universe and then the other Spider-Man universes and the MCU, you know, that would be an interesting, interesting. I didn't think of it that
way. Yeah. Is that what that means? I've just heard that thrown around a couple of times.
I don't know. I've heard it something like that, but the way you explained it, I don't know. It kind of makes sense. If she's the same in all those universes, and even though everything is different except for her, that's actually fascinating thought. So I'd like to see if that plays out.
She Scarlet Witch wasn't in the X-Men movies, was she? Like a different actress?
Scarlet Witch. There was no sister.
Right.
They ever showed Pietro's sister in any of those movies, and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man universe, they mentioned Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
It is just like a little, I don't know, just
Easter
a
one, egg.
Yeah, a little Easter egg. So I don't know, man. There's definitely a way to tie it all together, but I'm wondering where they're going with this, because a lot of the conversation of where MCU is going to go is like cosmic and then like the street level, right? But like really clearly in this one, it's going like the dark arts is where it's really going, like almost horror kind of thing. So it's like I don't know where they could go with this, because it could be Magneto, it could be Benedict Cumberbatch for the cameo at the end, could be nothing, could be Captain Marvel, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't be too happy about that if that was the case.
If it was Captain Marvel, no. Imagine that. What if it's Wolverine?
Could be. One of my friends thinks that's who it is.
He's really? Like,
it's gonna be Wolverine. Yeah. So maybe it is.
What if it's No, it wouldn't be Spider-Man because that's out of, he's in.
How do we definitely know there's going to be a cameo?
We don't. Like, even like, this is all based on an interview with Paul Bettany, oh, okay. Right?
Well, he did another one though, which he doubled down on it.
Yeah, like that cameo is not the big cameo. So it's like, well, who's the big cameo? You know what I mean?
Is it
Walker? Like, did she really mess up universes that much where it's just like
it's actually Luke Skywalker?
No, that was ridiculous.
Luke Skywalker comes in and
like technically that could happen though, right? I mean
it could.
Disney owns everything, so
he's got kind of those Wanda-esque kind of powers, just like crush it like a beer can. Where's Luke Skywalker getting drunk in the scene where he's just like just crushing cases? we're off the rails. All right. I'm dumbfounded, like, for those cameos, who it's going to be. What else did we miss in that episode? We talked about Wanda. Wanda's losing it. Agatha revealed. We don't know where the kids are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going on with Quicksilver because he only shows up at the end. Could Quicksilver be someone else? I don't know. We've gone back and forth with this.
Like, I just don't want him to be.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, Colleen, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I feel like he could be almost in on it with Agatha.
Really?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. There's precedence in the House of M. I heard like an abridged version the other day, a YouTube version, like short. But it turns out the House of M was all started because Quicksilver told or convinced Wanda to do it. It was all People's Bros idea. And if she is, like you said, like a nexus where she's like this connecting body of all these universes, like maybe he could have done that. But why? You know? Why?
Why?
Or it's just Aya in general that it's supposed to be her brother and it's not her real brother.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we should talk about that for a little bit. Like, why would Agatha pick somebody who wasn't her brother and that she would eventually know wasn't her brother? Like, sure, he is him in another universe, but I don't know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, why would she bank on Wanda being influenced by somebody that, like, her in her mind would know that is not her brother? Or is she influenced so much by Agatha, whatever spell she's under, maybe, that, yeah, like, seeing him reminds her so much of her actual brother Pietro that, like, she just can't tell the difference? I don't really know.
Yeah, and she just wants it to be true so much.
Yeah.
And that Agatha really just tries to make Wanda think that she's in charge of everything, because I'm thinking back to a few episodes back where Agatha's just like, oh, was that not good? Do you want me to do it over? Like, do you want to do another take?
Yeah.
So
she's not even really asking her that question, like really meaning it. Like, she's just trying to make Wanda think that she's in control.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah, I wonder. The Quicksilver is probably the most, out of all the things, the most perplexing, because how does it tie together? Why did she not use the actual Pietro? Like, is it because it reminds her too much, like, of her past? Like,
yeah, didn't he die?
He did die, yeah. And then, for some reason, he's not dead here.
I really think it's gotta be that this particular Pietro is alive in that decade that they were in. Like, they were in the 80s and 90s, and that's when that character is based in X-Men Apocalypse or Dark Phoenix. And so, like, I think she actually has to take people that exist in that time period from a different dimension.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So I don't think it's so much a virtual reality as an actual reality that's transported like to that particular space in the hex. And so like they need to use people that actually live in that particular reality that they're in at that given time period.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because like even the when Mark Rambo goes through that tank with the tank when she tries to get into the hex, it the front half turns into a van.
Yeah.
So I guess if she brought somebody in, she would need someone that's alive in the right age, right? Because she if she brought if somehow she brought the Pietro back in the 90s that was his age, he would have been much younger, right?
Right. Yeah.
Much younger. So she needed someone who was the right age to fit that, because everything adapts to that time period for television's sake, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, like when they're using drones and whatnot, like they had to use a drone in that episode that was from the 80s.
So is that why it rewrites people?
Yeah, I think it's rewriting people to fit the to fit the story, to fit the set.
Just like it rewrites objects.
Yeah.
It rewrites people because they're not made for that time frame.
Yeah, or something along those lines, yeah. So however she got that Pietro in there, so he's saying you would have had to pull him from somewhere where it fits.
Yeah.
You know, because her Pietro wouldn't have fit. Still perplexed. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. One more thing that's come to my mind, which is a little bit off topic from what we're talking about, but we see in episode 6 that Wanda at least views Pietro for a split second as dead. Like you can see the bullet holes in him.
Right.
And we previously thought that in episode 3 or 4, it was 4, that it was revealed that Vision's dead corpse is being dragged around. So does that necessarily have to be his dead corpse if we've seen Wanda view Pietro in the same way?
I see like, what you're saying.
Like we saw Vision as dead and Pietro as dead, but like we know that Pietro isn't actually dead. Mm-hmm. So maybe Vision isn't actually like she isn't actually dragging around his dead corpse.
Yeah, maybe it's just a trauma type thing.
Yeah, maybe that's just the director like giving you a peek of what's going on in her mind.
Like
her like actual signs of her like losing it.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Or like the edge of the actual like
edge all, of coming to.
Like that PTSD kind of that edge she's actually in.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I guess this wouldn't make a difference, but just that, what's the brown haired girl's the computer savvy girl?
Oh, Darcy.
Like she sees him as normal. But I guess that wouldn't make a difference because they're in the hex at that point. So it doesn't really change anything.
She reminds me of
Amber.
Amber.
Yeah, she does too.
She reminds me of Amber so much.
So our much.
Good friend Amber. Amber was an MCU character. Darcy.
The red lip, the pale skin, and the dark hair.
I know. Man, that's a really good point. Yeah, I think there's actually something to that, though, Colleen, that Darcy saw him and didn't think he was dead, even after he recognized her.
Yes.
Mm. And after, like, and the same thing happened with, what's his name, a few episodes ago, one of his fellow employees, after, like, is his name Norm?
Yeah, they do that thing and then he panics and then he undoes it.
Yeah, yeah. And so he doesn't think that he's dead, even after he's like cognizant of what's going on too.
Yeah, that's true. Great acting in that scene, by the way.
Yeah. 100%.
Just like the switches, just like that. Like, wow, that's
real quick. Easy. While we're talking about this, you know how this past episode was modeled after The Office?
Yeah, he's nodding his head.
Yeah.
He's just what was last week's episode modeled after?
Wait, did you say next week or last week?
Last week.
Last week, not yesterday.
Like I was Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Right, yeah, the kids walking with the camera, breaking the fourth wall.
Oh, okay.
Just the kids.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I wonder what next week's is going to be, though. Like, is our sitcom just done?
I think they must be done. And they must be done unless, at that last second, you know, Agatha does something to Wanda, like over her eyes. It seems as though, like, maybe she does one more show, but what comes after The Office? Because now you're in the 2000s, right? Now you're up to modern time. What are you going to do, like Jersey Shore or something? I don't know. I thought this episode was great with like some of the comedy and with like The Office, like the interviewing and then him breaking the fourth wall, talking about, I think that Wanda is putting all these obstacles here to stop me from coming home. And like they're at an intersection. There's nothing there for miles. You can see it. And then all of a sudden construction workers just show up. And as soon as they're done, the guy stops. And a crowd of kids walking over the pool walks by. It's just like the funniest thing, you know? And then he like flies away, but it made me laugh really. I got a good kick out of that. And then when he's like, he's talking about this, he's like, what am I doing?
Yeah, he takes the mic off.
What am I talking to you? Like, I have to get home.
So like, who is he talking to at that point? Like,
that's part of the spell that Agatha is doing, because when Agatha shows her part, like, you see that she is the one talking behind the camera,
right.
So that's part of the spell is Agatha. So Agatha isn't Wanda isn't stopping him from getting home, or like, even though that's what Vision thinks, it's Agatha who's stopping him from getting home. Now interfere, because he's conscious of what's going on. She can't control him. So, or she can't control him, I don't know, to an extent. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's definitely Agatha that's stopping him there. Because I was like, Wanda's like, I can't stop. If he doesn't want to be here, he can't be here. So she's like, thinking that maybe he really doesn't want to be there or something along those lines. They're really having a fight and he's just trying to get there the whole time, but Agatha's spells keep throwing something there. And it's not until Vision can't get into out of that little loop that he's stuck in, where he can't get to the house. He's not freed until Agnes takes Wanda to her house. Or yeah, you know what I mean? Because he just wants to get home. Mm-hmm. So when he goes home, Wanda's not going to be there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Monica Rambeau's not going to be there. He's going to go home to an empty house, no kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how's that going to play out?
Good. Sorry, finish your thought.
No, well, I was just kind of, like I said, I was admiring how they had those little shots there and how Agatha was I think that she was controlling that whole situation. Now Darcy's going to wind up showing up all over the house. So I'm wondering just how the next scene is going to break down, because you're going to have essentially a new powered up Monica Rambeau. You're going to have the two witches together. We don't know where the kids are. Darcy's on her way. Whatever Darcy's going to do, I don't know.
It's almost like Agatha's going to lock Wanda in the basement or something. Like, that's what it, like, seems like.
Maybe. Yeah.
Happened, but, like, that's how it looks like it's set up.
Yeah. Colleen said something funny. She was like, what's with all the stuff in the basement? In Agatha's basement? I'm like, she's a witch, Colleen. It's all witch stuff. And why is it witch? Why do witches always have like vines and cobwebs?
I really don't know. Like, did she herself design that, or is that just the nature of a witch? Like they create vines and cobwebs all around them wherever they go, or like
maybe it's just like a manifestation of her cold soul.
Maybe. These roots go deep.
Do you know what the book was? I heard it's the Darkholds or something.
Yeah, the dark arts. Yeah, I guess it showed up somewhere in an episode with Ghost Rider in
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But obviously that's not fully connected. So I guess that's the book. So we're going to see what kind of spells and what kind of power she has soon. I'm wondering if Benedict Cumberbatch is even going to show up in this show. I'm at a point where it's just like, why would he at this point?
Like, I think he's going to.
Outside of a post-credit scene, you know?
Mm.
Does that one make sense?
I mean, he would probably... If he heard about it, I would assume that he would go over to the Hex because, you know, his job is to protect the MCU's reality. And so if he hears about a threat about other realities, like invading the 616, I would think that he would do everything he could to address the issue. But you're right. It could just be a post-credit scene. I think it would be nothing less than a post-credit scene. Like, it's at least a post-credit scene. Maybe he's involved in the last episode. And so I'm not sure 100% what that's going to look like. Maybe he has to fight Wanda, or like, I don't even know if Wanda's still going to be villainous after this episode. Like, maybe she, like, after seeing Agatha and like seeing that Agatha is the reason that all of this is happening to her, that she might be turning the corner and like wanting to defeat her. But at the same time, there's been rumblings about how in the next Doctor Strange, she's still going to be a little bit evil and still dealing with you know, these anti-hero qualities. So I don't know if she like completely becomes the hero at the end of this story. And so maybe for that reason, they need Doctor Strange to convince her of her true self. And like, you know, I think he would be the one to do it, both because he's going to be involved in Spider-Man 3 and Doctor Strange 2. And we know these are all connected. But also because him and Wanda are both pretty similar in that like they deal with reality bending things to say it in layman's terms.
yeah that makes stuff weird. I don't know, man, it just fascinates me. I want to see how it's gonna connect, especially with Spider-Man, because outside of I don't know, a Spider-Verse, I don't know how it connects. But then again, at the same time, we saw in Far From Home, he's essentially duped into multiple realities. You know, like people will believe anything.
Yeah.
But clearly that's after the fact of WandaVision.
Yeah, that's what's really, really interesting. And I didn't figure out until recently that Far From Home is after WandaVision.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when Mysterio says that a person from another universe is exactly what somebody would believe nowadays.
Yeah.
So like there's the, it's definitely following WandaVision, and like he was definitely referencing whatever happens at the end of this, I think.
Yeah, and that would make sense why Doctor Strange is unavailable.
Why Doctor Strange is unavailable?
Yeah, because remember Spider-Man didn't want to do it, he just wanted to go on vacation. He's like, what about Doctor Strange? He's like, unavailable.
Oh, right, no. right. No. Interesting.
So he's probably dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Thor, off-world. So we'll see what comes of those. Now, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, I mean, like, it's interesting how such a catastrophic event is happening right now. And so I'm wondering how the events of this series connect with Spider-Man 3 more than Far From Home, because Far From Home technically would be closer to this event than Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder why that is.
Far From Home is going to, Spider-Man 3 takes off right at the end of Far From Home.
Yeah.
But Far From Home is a few months after the blip or the return, right? And then he's back in New York. So I don't know. Maybe he was just like, he went on vacation. He like, and just because nobody calls him, because Tony would call him when something's wrong, but no one else called him.
Yeah, so exactly.
Maybe he's literally just, he's like, he's just a kid in New York.
And yeah.
And they literally like, we'll call Spider-Man last. But at the end of the day, we all know he's just a kid from New York, from Queens.
Exactly. Over, yeah.
You know? So,
yeah,
that could be why they just don't call him. He hasn't stepped up yet. You forget that, like, Spider-Man's such a hero, but like everyone that knows him knows, like, hey, you're just a kid, you know? Everyone mm-hmm. that knows him with the mask off. Anyone else yeah. just thinks big thing, but he's really just a kid. So like it makes sense why he would not really know what's going on during WandaVision, like you know.
Yeah So he might have been naive to everything that was happening even a few months later. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's probably playing Xbox with Ned. You know.
Building another Lego Death Star.
Yeah, you know, he's already doing something like that. Avengers Tower. Yeah, all right. You know, all right, so before we wrap this up, let's go over some current rumors. I got two here. The big one came out today. Jennifer Lawrence said to be joining the MCU.
Invisible Woman.
I don't buy it. Not for a sec.
Do you don't buy it?
I don't buy it.
I don't know. What's the reason not to buy it?
Well, as far like I was just listening to some other people. I was listening to Fat Man Beyond, Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he brought up some really great points. Like, I don't even think there's a script yet for the Fantastic Four. So it'd have to be a cameo or something. And
yeah,
Australia is shooting Thor Love and Thunder. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So unless she's coming in on Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could be.
But I mean, I don't know who broke it first. So I don't know. I feel like it's one of those articles or something that's just like they throw it out there and then correct it later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like they throw it in the back page, like, oh yeah, not true. She's Australian or something, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, I think another thing that's interesting about this is that she's Mystique in the X-Men universe. So if they really are crossing over everybody, then I wonder what's the limit they're going to set on that, because like there's a lot of great actors in that universe. And so like,
I didn't think of that.
You didn't think, you know, that's the first thing I thought of.
No, I know that she plays Mystique, but I didn't think of her playing Mystique again. Because she said she hated playing Mystique.
That's true too.
Because it took 8 hours of makeup. But then again, yeah, it takes 8 hours of makeup, but that was Fox. This is the MCU.
Exactly. And dollar signs speak wonders, okay, too.
A little blue here, some dots. There you go. You know?
Yeah. So I don't know. It could be that she's reprising that role or Invisible Woman. I think you're right to have reservations about it, though, because they probably haven't made a script for it yet. But at the same time, like, you know, they have to set seeds so early on in the MCU sometimes that, like, you know, even if there isn't their own movie yet, she could still be in a different property preceding it, or as a post credit scene, or like even a small part, like Spider-Man and Civil War. So
true. You know what, maybe I just went on another tangent. I wanted to stay on the news, but like, what if all these characters are coming over from a different universe because of the I got low power. You there? Okay.
I'm there. Yep.
Because of what happens in Logan, and they don't want that to happen. Right? Because they all die.
Yeah.
Red herring. Anyway, that we're going too deep there. All right. What was the other thing? All right, this is in a different kind of universe. All right. Daisy Ridley.
Ooh, would love to play
Spider-Woman for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. How do you feel about them apples?
When I heard that, I reacted very positively. I think that would be really cool. Yeah.
I love how instead of showing how you reacted, you explained it. I reacted.
Well, positive. I mean, like, I'm not reacting to it now. I heard it before.
I feel like as long as she can adapt the accent, because I don't want Ray to show up as Spider-Woman.
What if it's a British Spider-Woman? We don't want that.
Yeah, well, I don't know the origins of Spider-Woman person. Like, I don't really know. I'm assuming she was an American woman. So I want to see how good her American accent is, because there's a lot of great actors out there that are classically trained that have great American accents. Like Christian Bale has a fantastic American accent. Mm-hmm. You cannot tell that he's not American. Yeah. With Tom Hardy, fantastic. That is not what he talks like when he's having a beer with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Daisy Ridley, I mean, in Star Wars, she's just talking to you how she would talk, like with her normal accent. So yeah. I guess that's maybe I'm being, I don't know, armchair quarterback, but of course I am. I'm not in the movies or the comic industry.
I don't know. Like, what's your precedence for that, though? Well, like, they always do a good job of that, I feel like.
I think she would fit. I've seen Spider-Woman. She fixed the look, the characteristics of it. And she's a good actor. Don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure. Hey, how is your American accent? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I suppose.
But I've, you know, like, I haven't dug too deep into her career. So
is that the whole reason why you're kind of?
That's the whole reason.
It's because she has an accent.
I am. That's ridiculous. I'm a linguist.
A linguist.
No, I know it is ridiculous. I don't know.
Did you see another movie with her?
Yeah, if I'm thinking about Star Wars while I'm watching MCU, I'm going to be distracted. I'm going to be distracted with my distraction.
But why do you think that's going to happen, though?
I don't want to be thinking like Tenet level things while watching an MCU movie, because it's, you know, I'm like, this is Spider-Man woman, but Rey, and she's a Palpatine. Well, I'm, you know, I just want to be like, it's Spider-Woman. I must be tired.
Oh my gosh. No, I think like everything tells me that it would be a great cast. Like, I don't know. Didn't what's her name? Olivia Wilde confirm that she was directing the Spider-Woman? I kind of forgot about that until I heard the Daisy Ridley news.
I don't know. No, I haven't looked too far into, like, if Spider-Woman, a movie, is actually coming. It hasn't been announced. If it is, it's probably Phase 5.
You know? Yeah, it's at least in the works, because I do remember her or whoever is directing confirmed it. Like, it said, I don't know exactly how she did, but I do remember that was the case.
Yeah.
So I think it's coming at some point. And I don't know if they would have done the casting yet or not.
Well, what if it's Jennifer Lawrence?
What if Jennifer Lawrence is Spider-Woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how old she is in the comics. Is she like a little bit older?
Jennifer Lawrence? She's my age. She's 30.
She's 30. She's young.
Right, right. I was talking about Spider-Woman, though. I don't know
how. Yeah. Spider-Woman? I don't know, man. I have to dive deep in that. So I'm going to have to dive deep.
Deeply diving.
Deep and diving into the spider world. All right. Yeah, we should wrap this up. Next week will be episode 8. Rumors are
The Last Jedi.
We'll see. The Last Jedi. They better not take that wizard book and throw it over their shoulder and be like, no way, I got an Infinity Stone. The Last Jedi.
I guess real quick, like, what do you think at a very basic level the next episode is going to be? Is it going to be a flashback? Is it going to be not a sitcom? I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? Now would be the time to do the flashback.
Yeah.
Before the closer, like, explaining Agatha, how she, like, how this all came together. It'll probably be something along those lines of flashback while the Monica Rambeau story is progressing.
Yeah.
Like, bits of, like, whatever, they're telling that story while hers is progressing. And then maybe it comes to some sort of head where they close it out. Be like big cliffhanger or something, and then we'll see what Hayward's gonna do. They're gonna try to blow up the hex or something like that. I don't know how this is all gonna end. I mean, there's that one clip of the Infinity Stone exploding. Is that gonna happen, or is that like the Thor clip that for Endgame where he's like floating around with the Stormbreaker, and there was a clip that was never used, or the Iron Spidey busting up all the food place, like just a fake clip.
Yeah, you know what I mean? could be fake,
but we'll see. I don't know, man. I'm honestly lost with this ending, knowing because I know it goes to, like, it ties into another story.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I do agree that it could be a flashback. This upcoming week, I think that this would be the perfect time for it to explain things a little bit better. And then for the finale, like, it's just an all out finale. Like, you don't need to worry about the flashback stuff anymore, because they do have to explain what goes on before this at some point.
Yeah. You
know? So I think next week would be the time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sitcoms are probably over.
They're probably going to see how it's my battery again. They're probably going to explain how it came to be, and then it'll go up to like a present moment or where they're going forward, and then it'll be some sort of big baddie, think there's a solution, then cliffhanger into the next story, because this series is tying into, like, not just Spider-Man but Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel. You know, it's seeding those things, and with this magic, like, it's probably going into, like, in the dark worlds, or you're going to be tying into, like, Blade and those storylines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you didn't think about this, but Sword trying to use Vision again, that's probably going to tie back into, like, Armor Wars and Ironheart.
Yeah.
You know, with Sword trying to rebuild all these other technologies. So I think, like, you have multiple things, essentially three things I'm seeing branch off in this one series. So I'm not just excited for the Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. I'm like, I want to see how these stories branch into those other stories simultaneously. So, but yeah, looks like next week's probably going to be a recap. We'll see who's right, who's wrong.
Mm-hmm. We shall.
We shall. All right.
Till then.
Till then. Till we meet again. Thanks for the talk, Jess. Thanks for everyone listening. Thanks, Colleen, for jumping in. And we'll see you in the next episode.